We thank you for subscribing to our podcast as we begin. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, for more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is January 20th, 2017. Above average investing for the average investor. That's what we're all about. I try to teach that every day. That's my goal. Well, our 45th president was sworn in today. Pretty exciting for a lot of people. Market participants, however, stock market participants have been somewhat anxious about this. Other than up to today, the market didn't rally. But the market seemed to take a wait and see attitude this week. I mean, the stocks fell like 5 days in a row, and then we're up today, but they fell 5 days in a row up until today. Anyway, being Friday, our premium newsletter hit the email boxes of our subscribers. We usually take a quick look at some of what's inside each week's issue. On the economic fundamental basis this week, we had, statistics that point to a steady improvement with low inflation and we have a little uptick in inflation, but the economy is steadily improving. I talked about the Fed with the recent economic news and what the new president is proposing to boost the economy is certainly poised to bump rates again. And the rates are very, very low still, but they're ready to do that. I spent some space in the email profiling the market, a couple of stocks. I always give a couple of stocks or ideas, and today was kind of different. Portfolio management section talked about fundamentals when comparing the fundamentals of companies of different characteristics. In other words, you can't compare a tech company with an industrial company. And then their stats, their fundamental stats, growth, profit margins, all those things are different. Make sure you compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. Consumer section, I kind of updated the electric cars. Which ones are the best ones coming out? How many are there? There's a lot coming out. There's some. They're not cheap yet, though. I noticed that when I was looking at the prices, compared to price, they're still expensive. It's not a cheap thing, those electric cars. And then today we're going to talk about the real value ETFs, maybe helping you to take advantage of big kind of market trends, big sweeping market trends here in the next few years, and what you can do with ETFs to try to take advantage of those. That's what we're going to talk about. Also, I want to talk about not taking enough risk, especially you millennials out there. You're too afraid. Why? I have a theory why, but let's talk about that later on today. Americans should realize Americans can't even afford not even $1,000 unexpected bill. Not even $1,000. They don't have it. And one other thing, why oil could go back to $100 a barrel over the next couple of years. Could. Why could it? Remember, we have plenty of oil. Tons of oil. But it's not all about how much you have oil you have. It's not. Something else could happen to drive oil prices up. And I'm not talking about anything disastrous. I'm just talking about something fundamental. Anyways, first let's take a look at the market. What happened to the market today? Dow was up 95. The NASDAQ was up 15. And the S&P up 8. A little relief rally after 5 down days in a row. Well, we have a new president starting Monday. Well, actually starting today, if you want to know the truth. But starting Monday for the market, the stock market. And it'll be interesting to see what he does initially. And the market is going to be watching very, very closely because it is such an unusual political season, unusual presidency, president-elect. It's very different than we are used to. So it's going to be different. I think it's kind of interesting. That's what happened today. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. You can call it right now. 888-99-CHART. So let's check in for our listener line right now.
Hi, Steve. I currently have some money in a couple of mutual funds, which really aren't doing so much. I haven't been paying attention to them. And then I have about 3 to 6 months living expenses in a money market account. Now, I would like to start investing, so I would have about maybe $2,000 to just go into the stock market, and I'd like to get your advice on that, on how to pick the right stocks to invest. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, if you're going to start going the stock market, the individual stocks, that takes a little bit more work than picking mutual funds. Mutual funds are easier. And because they're mutual funds, they're much more broadly based, and therefore they're not as risky, but you may not get the returns you want either. So you do have both sides of the coin. If I was to make a suggestion, I would suggest that you stick with the big companies, big well-known companies. Why? Because smaller companies and small growth companies are harder to analyze. Big companies are easy. You can look for, you know, you can look for any pullback. You know that they're not going away, so you don't have to worry about them going out of business. What you do worry about is buying them at the right price, buying them when they're cheap. And look for big companies to pay nice dividends, and look for when they're cheap. That would be my suggestion. Blue chip stocks that look cheap. And try not to buy one or two. Try to buy, the problem is your trading costs can eat you up. If you have trading costs, it's going to eat you up. But you want to get to about 10 companies at the very minimum. Different sectors, about 10 companies, at the very minimum. I like to own about 30 to 35 companies. That's what I like to have in my managed accounts. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about big trends and writing ETFs with those trends, exchange-traded funds. What are some of the big trends? One of them might be, in the next few years, foreign stocks. Foreign stocks have not done very well for a number of years. For a number of years, they have not done very well. So can they really start to take off? I think they could. I really do. 888-99-CHART is my number, everybody. I'm having a little bit of difficulty here. Hold on. There you go. Okay. So foreign stocks, I think, could. So therefore, you could use the ETFs in that area. And also, let's take another look at another trend that could happen that would maybe benefit you. How about inflation? We know inflation is probably going to start rising. So inflation rising could be an opportunity for investors. Think about exchange-traded funds that would benefit. One thing that comes to mind is something that's pretty safe is TIPS, treasury inflated protected bonds. I mean, that comes to mind if you want to have something safe and at the same time help not take such a beating because of interest rates going up, because they reset themselves every 6 months based on how much inflation has happened. I still think healthcare spending is going to go up. I don't think how that's going to go down. Now, we're talking about long-term trends here, not, you know, next few years, not next month or two. So those are the kinds of things you could look at. Okay? I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. Let's make most of this hour, if we can. Be part of the conversation. I'd love to hear about your investing experience, if you could. What's been your greatest challenge recently? 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dan in Palo Alto. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. Good. Good to talk to you. Appreciate your wisdom every day. I just had a quick question about pharmaceuticals, given the I guess both presidential candidates were talking about lowering pharma costs, and specifically Gilead, and whether you'd be a buyer. I took a half position.
Gilead is not my favorite stock in this section, even though it's really cheap. It's really inexpensive. So far as buying a value play, Gilead is a value play. The problems it has is more related to its own making. They've had political problems going back the last couple of years, not necessarily overcharging, but charging a lot more money for certain And that's for certain treatments. And, of course, that's what the politicians have been attacking recently, and that's what drove Gilead down so much. But at some point, it is awful, awful inexpensive. Gilead's not the one I would pick in this area. We've talked previously days on another one that is a generic pharmaceutical that I like a lot better and also is very, very cheap. I don't want to bring it up because I'm not supposed to, but if someone asked me or someone mentioned a name, I will confirm it.
I wish I'd mentioned the name, and then you'd say, yes, that's the one.
That's right. Yeah, so if you think you know what it is, go ahead and mention it. But Gilead is really inexpensive. It's just not my first choice because of the politics. The other one is my first choice, and when we've taken the position in, because it is a generic drug maker, and it's hard for the politicians to argue against the cheaper prices of generic drug makers. So, okay, Dan, appreciate the call. Thank you, James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm doing well. How about yourself tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'd like to ask. This is something I'm unfamiliar with. The concept of shorting. I have an idea that I'd like to short a company, and the company that I had in mind to short the stock is Cirrus Holding. I wonder if you would advise for that or against that, or any time frame that I would do that.
What's the symbol?
Sears. I believe it's
Sears.
HD. Sears, correct? Yes.
Yeah, SHLD is the symbol, everybody. Do you know what the definition of shorting is, James? I'm not trying to test you. I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
But you do know. I'm familiar, but
okay.
That's so for everybody else, a lot on my own.
So for everybody else, let me explain it. Shorting means that James feels that Sears will probably keep going down. It's already been going down, but he thinks it's still going to go down further. Okay, and if it does, if he sells it short at its current price, he will make money if it goes down. That's what shorting is. You're trying to make money on positions that are going down. And you can short individual stocks. You can short entire indexes. Shorting is nothing more than borrowing somebody else's stock and selling it today, putting that sale in your portfolio. And remember, you borrowed it, so you got to give it back. You hope it goes down so you can buy it back at a cheaper price and give it back to them. Therefore, you get to make the difference if it goes down. If it goes up, you keep losing money. So the danger, James, is what if a Sears starts to go up and keeps going up and keeps going up and keeps going up? When are you going to get out? Buy to cover. You got to buy that stock to get out. So that's always the danger of shorting, is the upside, the loss can be unlimited. Now, it's a $9.33 stock. It's already been beaten up a lot. And James, I probably wouldn't do Sears simply because it's a $9 stock. I don't like the short stocks under $10 because it gets harder and harder to make much money on downside unless they go bankrupt. You know, hopefully it would if you were shorting it. That's what they're losing a ton of money, been losing the money. They're probably going to lose more money, but they're worth something. And it is definitely shortable. You can short it, but it gets very volatile when it gets low price. Good luck, James. I hope it works for you.
Okay, thank you.
This is InvestTalk. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. Any money questions is fine. 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. How about not taking enough risks? The millennials are not taking enough risks. They're not investing in the stock market. They're very hesitant about it. Of course they are, but they're not fully invested. They haven't gotten fully invested. They just are afraid of it. And my theory is probably they're having post-recession blues. You know, they're familiar with losing 40 to 50% during the economic collapse. So they're scared. They're afraid of it. They have an emotional response to it, to shy away from the market. And I'm telling you, that's the wrong thing to do. Now, if you're telling me, if you're a millennial and you're telling me today that, well, I don't want to be in because I think the market's overvalued, well, that I can, that's valid. I would agree with that. But when you've never got fully invested after the crash and never have and still not, if that is what you've done, that's totally wrong. Totally wrong. Especially millennials who are young. They have plenty of time to make it up. They made it all up from the crash, and they're still not in it. All the money was made back. Now, if you made the mistake of getting out completely and never got back in, or started to get back in after recovered, well, of course you don't feel good because you're making emotional decisions. You're buying high and selling low. So we need to get you back in the ball game. Get you back in the ball game. I'm not talking about you people or my age people where we have to start taking less risk. And I totally agree with that too. I'm talking about younger people who have plenty of time. Will the market correct? Yes. Will we go into another bear market? Yes. But that doesn't mean you don't stay invested. And it certainly doesn't mean you stay out for years. You're losing all kinds of opportunity. Don't do it. It would be smarter if you just put it in there and just walked away for 30 years and come back. Don't look at it. Now, we are putting money in through our 401ks, but a lot of people are buying the stable value funds or the bond funds. I'm telling you, the bond funds are going to not work very well for the next 10 years. And you're going to wonder, well, why I can't even make money in this conservative stuff? Well, you have to understand how this market works, how any market works. Our markets work a certain way. You have to understand it. And if you're young, you don't even need to talk about, think about, or even consider bonds, bond funds, or anything like that. You do not. Okay, let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. You can call anytime you want. 888-99-CHART. Corey called from Northridge.
I want to invest for my daughter for college. She's quite young. She's 1 year old. I'm an aggressive investor. I don't want to manage the money. So I've looked into the 529s, but they feel real restricting. I want to invest in something like the CGM FX fund, but I'm having difficulty. What are your thoughts? Thank you.
Well, you can open up a Coverdell, which means you can put $2,000 away a year instead of a 529, which lets you put, 10 times that, well, 8 times that a month away, or 7. So Coverdell gives you a lot more freedom. You can open a Coverdell. It's like almost like an IRA in which you can invest in anything. And that is a Coverdell education investment where all the growth, just like a 529, where all the growth grows tax-free. So you could do that. Otherwise, you got to look for a 529 program in a state that gives you the maximum amount of freedom to invest. And some states give you a lot more freedom than others. So you just got to find them. And I am not an expert on this area, so I'm not sure what states those would be, but it just takes a little research. Okay? 888-99-CHART. It's time for Invest Talk 101, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. What is the Dow? And what does it mean to investors? The Dow is an index of companies, 30 of them, 30 large companies. All blue chip, all trade in the United States. The idea is that by looking at the companies on the list, it's possible to get a broad picture of the market, of the economic market, of the stock market. The index must be the most quoted, followed index in the world, because it really is. And it started back in 1896, by the way. It was started by the Dow Jones and Company, the same company that prints the Wall Street Journal. And back then, there was 12 stocks. There were 2 industrial companies and 10 railroad companies back then. That was the Dow Jones. And within a few years, they went to 20 stocks. And a few years after that, they went to 30 stocks because railroad stocks weren't as dominant. We were more of an industrial company. In 2007, 2009, don't think the Dow Jones doesn't change. It does. Some stocks are dropped and some stocks are. How many railroad companies do you think are in it now? Of course it changes over time. Now, almost all the 30 stocks are well-known names, 3M, IBM, Coca-Cola. So what does it mean? What does the Dow Jones industrials mean. It only represents about 20% of the overall market. It's not nearly as good as indicator of the market as, let's say, the S&P 500. But it's just the oldest, so it's the most quoted. I don't really follow the Dow. I don't. But everybody else does, so that's why I have to pay attention to it. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. Do you have a topic you'd like me to cover? Just let us know. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. We're heading into part two of the Friday show. Plenty of time to get your question in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. We're live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, 888-992-4278.
Our podcast will continue. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Approaching retirement? Do you feel like you have a grasp of the essential knowledge that you need? Without signing up for a PhD curriculum, there are countless strong sources of financial education online, as well as at a nearby college or community center. And one way to gain knowledge is through our InvestTalk Insiders program. There are very digestible info sheets and webinars, all kinds of useful information. To sign up for free, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. And now, more InvestTalk. You're listening to InvestTalk, answers to important questions. What's your talking point?
Variable annuity.
Closed-end bond fund.
Roth IRA.
And I rolled my 401k over.
I'm looking at retirement in 6 to 9 months.
Get your question to us now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach InvestTalk anytime.
Thanks for taking the call.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Target, what do you think? It's dropped like 9% in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it got pretty much crunched. They're having trouble finding a solution, an Amazon solution. You know, how do you defeat Amazon, who has taken away your market, you know, share? And Target has had a trouble. Walmart is doing – well, I shouldn't have said Walmart because we own Walmart. But Walmart's doing a little bit better job. Target is having a harder time. Now, I don't think Target's going away, and I think they're getting awfully cheap. And at some point, they'll be cheap enough for me to buy it. Okay. Not yet, though, because it's still falling. We got to wait to see where it falls. It's going to be a very good buy because the company, even though sales are slowly falling, they will find a solution. They're not going to go out of business. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
So just when will it stop falling? How cheap is cheap? Today, it broke down through some support. So now you got to wait. I don't know where the support's going to be. Let's see. It might come back to us here, but you're going to have to take a wait and see. If we have a correction, Bobby, that might be a great time to buy Target because it might fall hard during the correction too. But okay. Don't buy it yet.
When would you get excited? Like $60 maybe?
I would get pretty excited in the 50s. I would.
Okay. Low or high 50s?
Probably the mid-50s, right in the middle.
Gotcha. All right.
That doesn't mean I buy it there, Bobby. That means that I get excited about and I might buy it depending on how the action is, what's going on. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. All. Let's go to Jay in Milipedes. How you doing, Jay?
Doing good. You know, thanks for your show.
Thank you.
Earlier you mentioned about a generic drug maker. Are you talking about Teva?
I am talking about Teva, yes. We own that in some of our managed accounts. I think Teva is a better deal than Gilead, much more broadly based. They make direct generic drugs. Their PE is 7. And the sales in the last two quarters have turned around. They're starting to move up again. So, yes, I was talking about Teva.
But the stock has been going down for quite some time.
I know. Yeah, you should be smiling, Jay. Because at some point, it's going to stop going down. When it stops going down and it starts to move up, I'm going to buy more.
Okay,
but if you're not in it, this is a great opportunity. It's developing. The five-year PE range is 7 to 13, and the PE currently is standing at 7. So I think it's getting awful close to where it will stop. Okay? Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Americans can't afford even one unexpected loss. I'm talking about expense. Let's call it expense, not loss. One unexpected expense of $1,000. 59%, and this is a survey by Bankrate.com, 59% of the people they surveyed said they don't have enough cash to pay a $1,000 emergency medical bill or a $1,000 car repair bill. They don't even have $1,000. Now, I think about this. I said, well, maybe, you know, it's been a very tough go for a lot of people. There's a lot of part-time workers out there that want full-time jobs. And so, but then they went on to further questions. They went on to say that those people making $75,000 or more, they said that about half of those can't afford a $1,000 repair bill to their car or a $1,000 emergency medical bill. What? You mean you make $75,000 and you are not able to save up $1,000 for emergencies? Now that is bad. If you're making $75,000, I don't care where you are in this country, you're making $75,000 and you can't save $1,000 for emergencies, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. You either have to stop going to Starbucks every day, bring a lunch instead of going to fast food, do whatever you need to do to start putting some money aside. You need at least $1,000 for emergencies. That's a minimum. Anyway, so I thought that was pretty amazing. The first stat, I mean, I'm not happy with it, but, you know, I'm concerned about that. But the second stat was unacceptable. That's not realistic. I can understand, you know, you're poor and the working poor can't save money. I understand that, and they have empathy for me. But not people making $75,000 or more. No empathy. You need to be saving. Time to remind you that I'll be in San Ramon January 31st for individual retirement reviews for a limited number of our listeners. We talked about their goals and needs and other, and some, you know, offer some suggestions to what I do. And remember, it's in San Ramon on January 31st. If you'd like to set up a time with me on that day, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then portfolio review.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
Hey, Steve or Justin. I had a question in regards to buying Citigroup. I know that it's run up quite a bit since Trump's been elected, but we finally have some good news looking towards the big banks, and at least on FinBiz, all the numbers look really good going forward for Citigroup, and its book value looks really good. I think that's noteworthy because they were scrubbed clean pretty good by the government not too long ago, so I just wanted to hear your feedback on buying Citigroup right here. Listen to you guys on the podcast. Thank you.
Okay, there. Citigroup, symbol is C. And I think everybody knows that, anybody who's listened to me a length of time knew that I was not very positive on big banks. I was very negative on big banks for several years up until Trump got elected. The next week after Trump were elected, I said, you know, I kind of like big banks now because he's going to reduce regulation. My big fear on the big banks was because they're way, way overregulated with the Dodd-Graham Act, and they're very restricted how they can make money. So it's going to be very difficult for them. But now, if Trump falls through on what he says he's going to do, big banks look awful good to me at this point. So now Citigroup has topped right around $61 or so and then rolled over the last couple of weeks to 56. I don't think it's a good place to buy. I would much rather see you buy around 50. Okay. Hopefully it will go down there. it'd be more attractive. But long term, I think big banks are looking better. And I think it's time to start considering them. Just be strategic in your purchase. Oh, maybe we'll get a correction. And maybe that'll drive the price down to a more attractive price. Most of the big banks are not overpriced, like Citigroup. It is definitely not overpriced. They're going to make $5.90 next year, and it's a $56 stock. That means it's less than 10 PE. So it's getting cheap. Now, it has been as low as 7, so don't think that's the low as it can go. It's not. But if they get some relief from regulations, and I'm not talking about I want the big too big to fail law in there, but that's not what happened. Everybody thinks that will happen. That's not what the Dodd-Graham Act did to prevent the banks from big banks from failing. What they should have done, in my personal opinion, is separate the bank activities that they do. Go back to where they banks do only banking. Anyways, that's just my opinion. 888-99-CHART. We'd love to talk to you. I only have one talking point left, though, just so you know. So we're running out of time here. Why oil could go back to $100 a barrel? We have plenty of oil right now. Plenty of oil splashing around the world. But how could oil go back to $100 a barrel? Two main reasons. One, Trump is very pro-oil. He is pro-energy independence. Number two, the dollar is very high, and China could do something with Saudi Arabia or somebody else to buy oil in yuan instead of dollars. Remember that oil is traded around the world in U.S. dollars. So if the dollar weakens, and I'm not saying anytime next week or this year. I think it might weaken this year, but over the next couple, 3 years, most likely the dollar will weaken. And it's more of that weakening that will drive oil prices up. Up. So I don't see it this year, but maybe next year or the year after, we could see $100 barrel oil again. I don't think it's out of reach. It might be a little bit of a stretch, but I don't think it's out of reach. Okay? 888-992-4278. We're here for you. Beginner experienced investors are always welcome. 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you can record your question and we'll play it on our anytime line. And same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, podcast listener. I just had a question. I noticed Bristol Myers Squibb got beaten up pretty badly today on some news, and it looks like it has a lot of support around 49, and that's kind of where it dipped to, and it just kind of hung out there last time I checked. But I don't know if you thought this was maybe a buying opportunity, if it truly was just an emotional response to some bad news. It seems like a good company. Love to know your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
And yeah, I think it was just an emotional response to bad news. The news was they had a drug that they're not fast tracking. Okay, it was a treatment for cancer. They're not fast tracking, whereas a competitor was, same kind of treatment. Okay, I think it was lung cancer, I think it was for. Was it Procter Gamble? Who was? Well, I don't remember the other company. But Bristol Myers said they weren't fast tracking. That's all. That's all. That's all it took. Stock got crushed. They're still making $2.98 a share next year, up 4 cents from this year, which is up 40% from last year. Sales are going up 21% in the most recent quarter, 17% the quarter before that. For a company that's $82 billion, that's pretty darn good numbers. Problem is the stock is really not that cheap. Really is not that cheap. They're going to make almost $3 a share next year, and it's a $49.23 stock. What was that, 17 PE? See, it's not that cheap. I mean, it's not super expensive, but it's not that cheap. Pays a 3.2% dividend. I think this is a buying opportunity. If you wanted to get into Bristol Myers, you know, there's a lot of support right around where it is at $49. went right to support. So this would be where you want to consider it. Now, I might wait a few days and see if it can recover a little bit, but my gut feeling is that it will have a bounce. We'll see. I could always be wrong. My gut is wrong a lot, so don't think it always is right. It's not. But the odds, the probabilities, is pretty high. We want to make the most of the money we've got already earned and get it working for us instead of us working for it. The goal, of course, is to be financially independent. Instead of paying interest, you should be collecting interest. That's what we want to work toward. Whatever, no matter if you want to retire or not, you still should work toward that goal. So let's work on it together. Check in now, 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk.
Choosing the right investment products, adjusting to life's surprise events. If it's about money and it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on Invest Talk.
Hi, my name's Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show on podcast. My question would be on an ETF LQD, it's a corporate investment grade bonds. If interest rates go up, will this ETF get hurt pretty badly? Thank you. Have a great day.
Yes. Interest rates going up always causes bond values to go down. And an ETF and a bond fund, it causes them to keep going down as long as interest rates keep going up. So if they do go up, yes. Now, it pays a 3.3% dividend, which is pretty nice. This is LQD, iShares, iBox, investment grade corporate bonds. And so the question is do you believe interest rates are going to rise or not going to rise? And if your answer is yes, you don't really want to be in a bond fund or an ETF that is a bond fund. I like buying the bonds directly. Don't misunderstand me. Don't think I don't like bonds. I actually like bonds. I just like to buy them individually. I like to buy a number of them so I can spread my risk. And then I like to ladder them myself. Will they go down in value when interest rates go up? Yeah, even the bonds that you hold will go down in value. But the bonds you hold in your portfolio will always go back to par. So if you bought it at par at $10,000, interest rates go up, eventually that thing's going to go back to par over the next whatever years you have for it to mature, and you'll get your $10,000 back. You buy a bond fund, that does not happen. The bonds inside the fund go back to par, but they keep buying more and more bonds, and you buy the group of bonds, the basket of bonds. So you don't get to go back to par. Okay? So there's the difference. Pay attention to that difference. It's important. You're listening to Invest Talk. The invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line number. Why not check in now? Let's talk to Glenn in Vermont. How you doing, Glenn?
Good, good. Not too bad for a first day go around here. With Trump, I guess. But, hey, I got a question for you with Trump in mind also. But I've got two stocks that I currently hold. I need to unload one, and I've had them both for the long term. So I'm looking more for the long term. Which one is the more preferable one to hold? It looks the best to hold at this point in time. And it's LCI, with the both pharmaceuticals, LCI, and the other one is INSY.
Okay, LCI is Lynette Company, and INSY is Innis Therapeutics. Lynette develops generic versions of drugs that treat thyroid deficiency, migraines, epilepsy, glaucoma, and other conditions. I'm going to go with Lynette. This is why. Lynette. You want to know why. Don't you? I'm assuming you want to know why. Lynette has much better fundamentals than INSY. Let me check over here. Lynette, is growth is 50 to 70% sales growth a quarter. They're both small companies, $700 million market caps. But Lynette's making $3.36 this year and then $3.16 next year. I'm not sure why it's going down, but sales are rising fast. They do have debt that worries me just a bit. Just a bit. Mm. But their fundamentals are it's a $19 stock going to make $3.16. That's pretty darn cheap. Whereas Inasys Therapeutics, they're going to make 56 cents a share next year, and it's a $10 stock. And their sales went down last quarter, down 40%. Down before that, 14%. So Lynette is a lot better company as far as long-term investment. You look at both charts, of course, both their charts don't look very good, right? We know that.
No, no.
And it's all from because of politics. Pardon me?
Is Trump going to help that?
Well, I think he'll be much more friendly to a generic company, which Lynette is. It's just, see, the generic company just got caught up in the same kind of bad political brouhaha as the regular mainline drug companies, because they're saying, oh, the drug company is charging too much. Okay, but generic companies don't. You know, they're the ones making generic drugs. They're the cheap ones. So that's why I like that sector better. Okay, Glenn?
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you. That's LCI was that company. Let's go to Mark at Antioch. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you doing today? Hey, I had a question about ECE, thanks. Energy Transfer Equity.
Okay, that is a master limited partnership owning 100% general partner interest in Energy Transfer Partners, ETP, at Regency Energy Partners, REP. Now, I know that's probably confusing a lot of people. What this company, ETE, it's Energy Transfer Equity. What they're doing is buying interest in the cash flow of two other companies. So they want to buy, they made about 25%, 50%, but in this case, they bought 100% of general partners' interests in Energy Transfer Partners. In other words, all the money they make goes to ETE. So you buy this kind of company because of the dividend, and it's paying 6.3%, pays 6.3% dividend right now. Is it going to go higher? No, you don't buy this for capital appreciation, even though that could happen. I mean, this stock went from 4 to 18 in, a year. I mean, it can happen, but that's not the reason why you buy it. They're going to make $1.11 next year. It's a little bit expensive, Mark. Let me phrase this this way. It's too expensive for me to have any interest in it at this point. Okay?
Pull back to about what, 17 and a quarter or so?
I would much see it pull back to about $14. That's where I would be much more interested. Okay, Mark. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Our time is up for the hour, everybody. Here's a quote that kind of prompts investors to do their own homework. Quote, "The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing." Do you know who said that? The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. That was Philip Fisher. Philip Fisher wrote a book. Good book, too. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I want to thank you for being with us today. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, I hope you enjoy the weekend. Thank you.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.